Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. Tonight, we're reviewing what was a bit of a rollercoaster game between Peterborough and Aston Villa's children. Posh obviously came through 4-2 winners after being 2-0 down after a second half comeback. To be honest with you, it's not the happiest episode ever, despite the win, despite a rare win. There's still some glaring issues with this team, and we focus a lot on that this episode, but there are some positives to talk about. One of the people that wasn't a positive is Gustav Lindgren, who we talk about whether it's the end of his Posh career tonight, hooked at halftime. Can he get back in the team? Is he worthy of another chance? Is it ever going to come good? Someone that did come good for tonight is Kyrel Lisby. We talk about Lisby's performance and whether we think he should be starting. Ash actually has a potential position where he could join the starting lineup after tonight, which isn't up front. So stick around and listen to that one. I was joined for this episode by Ash and Dell, and the episode is sponsored by FC Stickers. FC Stickers basically have stickers for every single team across the Football League and some in non-league. We've got a discount code as well for them that they've offered us. That's in the description. So have a look. That's 25% off all your sticker orders. Whether you're an Aston Villa fan, listen to this. Any club across the Football League, like I say, do have a look at the stickers. And if you're a Posh fan, you might want to keep hold of that discount code because there's some new designs coming through, which are pretty exciting. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Up the Poshcast. Well, Ashley, I think that's quite a difficult game to summarise, but I'm going to throw to you and find out if you can do it.
Well, I'll try my best. Where to start? I think I'm probably disappointed that we came back and won the game, if I'm being totally honest. We went 1-0 down, we went 2-0 down, and I was very much prepared for, well, that's the end of Darren Ferguson. The scoring four goals, yes, look, great from Lisby, great from Jimmy J. Morgan to come on the pitch and really impact the game. That was fantastic. But at the same time, are we just now kicking the can down the road, papering over cracks, and the fact that ultimately we were crap against an under-21 team that I haven't looked at the stats. I'm sure that I can, but I don't think they're under-21s. I think they're probably closer to under-19s, looking at the size of them on the pitch. And we just simply weren't good enough. Like, if that's an audition for those players in the first half in particular, probably 70, 80% of them have really done themselves absolutely no favours in the slightest, have they? So, yeah, we're still in the competition. That's great, but it's nothing more than that for me. And it's just delaying the inevitable for me.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. That's kind of how I feel about it as well. It felt certainly like a win that papered over the cracks. And for 60 minutes, we were largely awful yet again. I just don't get it with the system, if I'm being honest. I've seen successful 5-3-2s or however you want to call it, five at a back formations before. But if you look at the ones that are two of the most famous ones, let's talk Sheffield United. It was under Chris Wilder and he had those overlapping centre-backs, if you remember, that would really advance the play through the centre-backs. Or Harry mentioned it in last episode about Antonio Conte's 3-4-3, which, again, if you look at that, it had three attackers and the two wing-backs so advanced and pressed on in Marcus Alonso and Victor Moses, I think it was, that were basically right-wingers. And it worked quite well because you kind of had the five at the back in the central midfielders and the three centre-backs. And then you've almost had five attackers. When Posh play it, we basically try and build up through Donny O'Brien Brady in the same way that Archie Collins drops in, and he becomes a fourth centre-back. So whenever we try and progress the ball, we have four men either on the ball or behind the ball, and then the fullbacks aren't that advanced, and then you've basically got four men forward, and this is how we lined up in the first half. And it was like, how are we meant to even get the ball into the strikers? Because, look, I'm no tactical genius. I'm not a football manager. But I can tell you there is not enough men in advanced positions for us to progress the ball properly. And I just don't get the we're going through games where we're barely having a shot on target. There was a stage where we'd had, if you go back to the Wickham game in the second half of that, we had two shots on target there. We had no shots on target against Lincoln, and we had two shots on target in the first half against Aston Villa school kids. So that's four shots on target against in two full games of football at London Road. And I can't even remember the last time we could ever say that about a Fergie team. There might have been a stage last season, but certainly in all his other spells, I don't think there was ever an accusation. And I'm just watching this system and I just don't get it. We obviously changed and bought Otto on at half time and played him as a 10 and things looked a little bit better. But like you say, Ashley, there's no way we can line up with a 10 with the players that we've bought, really. So I just don't see it with the ideas. We're really stuck in a rut. And although we've come out of that when the players decided they wanted to turn up, it felt like the players have really bailed Fergie out there. And I just didn't see enough again to see anything is going to change in the league when we get back to playing proper adults.
Well, today's game, it was never going to be a Fergie out, I don't think, whatever the result, because it was a fully changed, well, pretty much a fully changed team against a young team. And it's not something we look forward to, we'll be using moving forward, but it was one of those where we're 2-0 down. It was just laughable. You know, I don't like laughing at my own team, but you look and you think, for fuck's sake, whatever. We're 2-0 down against, as Ash said, under 18, under 19 kids, not under 21s. And it's like, this is just not acceptable. And then I've got to be honest, I didn't really pay much attention to the first half because it was just, it was depressing. You know, it was, I was just talking to people and just kept looking over and it's like, oh, we're 2-0 down. This is 1-0 down at half time and then, and whatnot. But, it's one of them that it did sort of kick into action in the second half, I think, whether it is fitness or whatever. The substitutions obviously made a difference in a way, or some of them did. And even like some of the players, I don't want to go into too many names, but Donnelly, for example, first half I thought was poor. Second half, once he got a bit of confidence, he didn't keep putting his foot on the ball, passing it back, he put some crosses in. That's when it started to play. So who's telling him what to do? You know, I'm pretty sure he's not thinking, oh, I've got to put my foot on it, I've got to go back. It's what he's been instructed to do. It's got to be. Because once he put the first ball in, every time he got the ball, he was looking across. Do you know what I mean? But the, I don't want to go into systems because I don't really understand it too much. Because are we playing a system? I don't understand. I don't know. But today was never going to be Fergie lose if we got beat or whatnot. But I'm still not full of confidence. I know we won, but you know, Bolton Sunday, Saturday is going to be a totally different game. But it's a bit concerning. Let's face it; it is concerning.
I'm actually pretty sure that Fergie would have gone tonight if that had stayed 2-0 and there was no improvement. I think that was probably the end. I think on your just picking up on the Donnelly debate. I think again, his performance really summed up Fergie's muddled thinking. Why are we trying him as a third centre-back and Carl Johnston as right wing-back in the first half? To me, that doesn't make sense. Donnelly is clearly a better going forward than Carl Johnston, therefore a better wing-back. And Carl Johnston is clearly a better defender. Now, don't get me wrong, he went in there against Exeter when he was against McGuinness and got bullied. But he's not going to get bullied against children. So he can probably play as that third centre-back tonight because you're up against an opposition without a target man centre-forward. So we swap them at half-time. Donnelly goes into right wing-back and lo and behold, he gets free assists because he's in the right areas for his skill set. And again, that for me, Donnelly's performance, he was stitched up by his manager first half. He got put in the right position in the second. But why is he making these basic errors? Like, you could have told me at the start, why are we playing? Who would you rather have at centre-back, Carl Johnston or James Donnelly? And I would have said, Carl Johnston at centre-back, Donnelly at right-back. That's not rocket science. I don't think there's 99% of posh fans would have told you that's how they would set up because of the skill sets of those players. So, yeah, well done to Donnelly, actually. I thought, look, I don't think he's ever going to get in the team over Chiosa. I don't think he's as good as Chiosa, but clearly, you know, if he puts in balls of that quality, I think he deserves an element of credit. And I would say he deserves more credit than Mills on the other side. I actually think people are being a little bit harsh on Harley Mills at the minute. He seems to have become a little bit of a, it feels like there's a lot of criticism directed towards him at the minute. And some of that is fair. He hasn't started the season brilliantly, but I'm also not prepared to write him off as a player after what I saw last season, when towards the back end of last season, he was one of our better players. There's no doubt about it. And I do think it's difficult for him in the sense that he's just signed a new contract and now he can't get in the squad. I can understand why you'd be a bit demotivated by that, but he probably didn't help his cause with his performance tonight. And that goes almost right across the back line, I think. Certainly Okagwe, again, is the jury even out on him anymore? Or is it just he's a terrible signing? Because I think it's looking more like he's a terrible signing than the jury's out, if I'm being honest with you. Certainly a terrible signing in the way he fits into this team. And then Nevitt played not in the centre of a three, but I thought he actually did quite well, even on the left-hand side of a three. So, yeah, he was fine. And then Reyes obviously had that. I mean, I don't know what he's doing, charging out of the pitch, but we were 3-on-1 at that point anyway, and they probably would have scored even if he didn't do that. So, yeah, of the defenders, I would say Nevitt and Dornelli are the only two that really came out of it with an element of credit.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. And it's kind of frustrating to sort of watch players being moved around constantly and chopped and changed. And then you've got Nevitt in the middle on the week and now he's on the left. Then Okagwe coming in and the bloke just looks like he's got concrete blocks for feet. The pass from Nevitt was perfectly fine. And he literally just stood there and you could see it happening. And he just doesn't move his feet to stop the ball. And then all of a sudden their player's got it and ball's in the back of the net as quickly as that. Like you don't get that time on a Saturday. So why do you think that you've got that much time on a Tuesday night against some under-19s? He's recently played, I think it was pretty much last week that he played for the under-21s. So he knows what he's coming up against when he's playing against these younger teams, these fast, direct teams. Yes, Wigan aren't a Premier League team, but they've still got a good academy because they're in the Category B, same as ours. Our academy is a good academy.
You know, I've just got to echo what both of you are saying about the defenders is we're just putting them round pegs in square holes. You know, it does feel like that Fergie is actually guessing or just trying so many different things rather than trusting the players. It's just, you know, Donnelly on the right, whoever on the left, CJ in the middle. But I just want to go back to the defender, back to the goalkeeper again, Reyes. How long have we got him for? Remind me. Because a couple of mistakes again, what is the difference between him and Bilo? What's the difference between him and Blackmore? Because at the moment, there's no difference. It's just not very good. You know, we've just signed a like-for-like goalkeeper. I know he's on loan, but I can't remember how long he's got for. But something, honestly, we're just full of average or below-average players that we're trying to get the best out of just by whatever. Clutching at straws. But anyway, we'll move on. I thought some of the defenders done okay. But the last thing I want to say about the defenders is the fact that we've got a 19-year-old, and he is 19, as we keep getting told. Nevitt is, you know, he is our most consistent player. You know, you shouldn't expect that. And it's just worrying. Now, fair play to him, obviously, but it's worrying that he is our most consistent player when we've got the experience and we've got the others that are just nowhere to be seen. But let's see what happens Saturday. But that's enough on the defenders, I think.
Yeah, to answer your question, Dale, Reyes is here until the end of January as it stands. Whether that gets extended, I don't know. We'll move on a little bit to the midfield. I guess I'd have to kind of qualify this with what I was saying earlier, that I actually think the midfielders are being quite badly affected by the system. I think they're just too deep and I don't think they have enough options when they get on the ball. And as much as I don't think Donny O'Brien Brady's a very good player, I did feel a little bit of sympathy for him because he was just constantly having to come and pick the ball off his own defenders and then try and distribute it to, again, two midfielders that are pretty deep lying on the pitch. And then when they get the ball, there's two options, which in the first half were Lindgren and Lolos, who were both awful, and we'll come to them in a bit. But I guess on an individual basis, like I say, Donny was again, and I think I have this criticism a lot, but I just find him too negative in possession. He too is just way too often wants to take the easy route out and just give it to another centre back or a full back rather than actually progress the play, which is really important in that role. I think you have to take a little bit of risk in possession. And the same criticism can be directed towards Archie Collins recently, I think, as well, where people have said that he's been too safe. I think Donny fell into that trap a little bit today as well. Keller, I thought, had a pretty poor game when he was on the pitch. Maybe you can put it down to fatigue, but I didn't think he was great. When you talk about Woods, he was lively, wasn't he? But on the ball, he didn't really do a lot. I didn't see much in the way of creativity. But I thought his attitude was right. He certainly, you know, there's players on that pitch that you could kind of, they it looked like they didn't really care, whereas I don't think you could direct that criticism at Woods. I'm still quite excited about his signing, and I'm not judging him off tonight. He's a new player very much so. And like I said, I do think he'd be a better player with more options ahead of him. But tonight, steady Eddie, but nothing really to write home about. Nothing notable of impact, I didn't think.
Yeah, John, you talk about Brian Brady, and one thing that I did notice in the stadium tonight is that O'Brien Brady, like you said, right, he doesn't take any risks. When he does take risks, they go wrong, and the ball doesn't go to the player. Like, that's the issue. There was one moment, I think he was trying to pass the ball out to Dornelli. It didn't happen. The ball went out of play. And then I think the other issue is that Fergie's probably protecting him too much. It was a crap pass. Fergie comes up and then applauds him for trying it. Like, which is it? Where's the standard? It wasn't a difficult pass. It wasn't like he was trying to spray the ball 60 yards from one side of the pitch to the other. It should have been a simple pass for a professional footballer, and ultimately he failed. I think, like you say, that Keller was ineffective. He didn't really do much. There was a few moments where he linked up with Harley Mills on the left-hand side, but again, it felt very congested in the middle and that there wasn't a great deal of space, and that was probably a nature of the beast of the way that we were playing. And Ben Woods, like you say, it wasn't a disappointing performance. He at least looked like he was willing to put a foot in and get stuck in, which is maybe something that we've been missing from some of our other midfielders in the past. Maybe not so much this season, because we know that Keller likes to tackle. Garbett likes to put his foot in as well, and Archie Collins will always be there. But my concerning thing about Woods is that we were told that he's this goal-scoring and goal-creating midfielder. And yet, at points today, it felt like he was the last midfielder at the back, and he was never going to get that chance to have a pop at goal or lay somebody in, create the space for someone else. So it's clearly a team and a side that is not quite there yet, and you could tell that they were all like the misfits, and Fergie had to try and build a team from the players that hadn't played recently. But it's difficult. It's difficult for all of them, and especially difficult from in the midfield. And the system, like John said earlier on in the episode, is that the system isn't working for the midfielders that we've got in the building at the moment, unfortunately.
Do you know what, Ash? I'm glad you mentioned that about Woods, because I know it's brought up in the group chat. But, attacking forward, attacking midfielder, playing centre-back, one of the furthest person back on the pitch. But anyway, that just sort of shows where the players are not sure where they need to be or what they're doing or whatnot. But anyway, let's move on to the forwards. So a starting opportunity for Gustav and Lolas, two that are meant to be strikers, or Lolas could play in that position. And let's face it, it was embarrassing. It would have been embarrassing for Gustav to be told off at half-time, you know, given an opportunity to try and get your confidence up, try and bang a goal in, at least have a shot on target against an under-21, 18-year-old, 19-year-old team, and still not be able to do anything and be taken off. It's where do you draw the line on him? You know, I don't want to be disrespectful to him as an individual, but as a footballer, he's really not very good. He's not making it. And it's one of these where, how long do you persevere? You know, you got young Lisby that come on in the second half, we'll speak about in a minute. He's got to be well above Gustav already. But Gustav, I don't think, should be anywhere near the squad for the next few games as a minimum. Lolas didn't really sort of take an opportunity. I heard I was driving home, and there's one comment made on one of the radio stations that he is the worst Peterborough player that somebody has ever seen. in 25 years of watching Peterborough United. I'm not sure that's quite that bad, because there have been some pretty poor ones, but he hasn't done anything to sort of give us that wow factor or get excited about it. But the first half forwards, big waste of time for me, and a big opportunity failed and lost for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, Del, I think you're right with Lolos. It's certainly not working for him at the moment, and I think that he is probably another one that's falling foul to the system that he's being asked to play. We've signed him as a central attacking midfielder when we were playing with that system and that sort of stuff, and then all of a sudden now he's being expected to be a striker. He's very clearly not a striker. Like that's clear to see from tonight. He can't do it against some kids. He's a big presence. He's a physical presence. He's not a striker. Let's put that one to bed. Actually, I probably would have quite liked to have seen Lolos in the second half when we were playing with a 10, when Otto came on, which is his position. He can pick the ball up. He can move it on. He can move it around and do what he probably quite enjoys doing it. We saw it when Lolos played at Wigan away. He picked the ball up in those tight areas and moved it round, and he looked like a decent threat. So he's certainly not a striker. I appreciate that obviously we didn't want to put 90 minutes into Jimmy J. Morgan or more time into Leonard and to give them a break. But it just feels like we are at the end of September now. We're still experimenting. We're what, 13 games into the season, 10 games into the league season, and we are still experimenting. And I probably should have mentioned this at the start of the episode. We were told that we were going to be a different animal by the end of September. Well, here we are, going two goals down to a bunch of children. That's certainly not a different animal. And if it is, it's a little tame pussycat in the corner that's afraid to come out of its box. And that's the most disappointing thing, is that we go to Bolton on Saturday. I feel like we're going to get absolutely spanked. Stevenage then probably gets postponed. Then it's Burton away in a proper 6-point relegation battle, which we've not done particularly well at Burton in the last season. We went 2-0 down there, I think it was last year. And then it's Blackpool at home, who are doing well again. And then all of a sudden, it's the end of October, and we've probably only played 3 games. How concerning is that? Like that's obviously a long way in the future. I am not going to make comment on Gustav, because I've just seen nothing again from him. I don't want to bash the guy, but we're clearly only playing him because we've spent a lot of money on him, and somebody wants to try and get at least some effort or return on investment. He's not worked. He runs fast occasionally to chase back for the ball, but that's no use to Peterborough United, is it?
I think you're too kind, Ash. I think just saying you don't want to bash the guy, I'm happy to bash him. I'll always protect players if they want to put the effort in. He's £500,000 signing. He hasn't started a game all season. You'd want him to fight for his place. Speaking of that pussycat, I've seen more fighting pussycat than Gustav Lindgren tonight. Did he touch the ball against the school children tonight? Played against year 11 and still looked out of his depth. So, it honestly, incredible. Just an absolute waste of money. And if he should... I've been beating this drum for a while now, but that has to be the end of Gustav Lindgren. Please tell me that's the end, because Fergie only played him tonight to try and get him a goal, right? I think we were all in agreement there that he was in the team to try and build his confidence up, just like he played for the under-21s. And he got hooked off at half-time. So if he did have a lack of confidence, then, well, where is it now? But the thing for me, really, with Lindgren is just the lack of effort. Just, you watch Lisby come on the pitch in the second half, and just the way he ran after the ball. It wasn't even a question. Lisby didn't need to score the hat-trick for me to be saying this. He could have done exactly what he did without scoring, and I'd still be advocating putting Lisby in the team over Lindgren because of his attitude, because of his endeavour, not necessarily because of the quality. And yes, it led to goals because he was putting the effort in to get in the box. That's all Gustav Lindgren needed to do, but he couldn't do that. I don't want to let Lolos off the hook either. I didn't think he was any better than Lindgren, if I'm being perfectly honest. I thought another one who sort of sauntered around the pitch. But I do agree with Ash that he came in as a creative number 10, really. And then all of a sudden, he's playing as a number 9 in a 2, which is a position he's never played in his career before. Even at Crawley, he was a 9 as a 1, but almost a false 9 and dropping in deep to inside forwards. So you're kind of asking him to play a completely new role. And don't get me wrong, his attitude wasn't great. but he has been messed around a bit. And at the minute, it looks like a completely wasted signing. On a more positive note, I thought Jimmy J. Morgan stood out like a sore thumb in terms of his quality. Thought when he came on the pitch, he looked miles better than everybody else on the pitch. And that was really good to see, really promising to see. He scored a few tap-ins, hasn't he? I don't want to use that in a disparaging manner, but he's scored poacher's goals, which is a great skill set. But tonight we saw a little bit more than that. His finish was brilliant, but also good link-up, nearly scored again in the injury time as well. And then Lisby, we've got to talk about. Hat-trick hero, three really good finishes. What I like about Lisby, and this is why I've always championed Kean Hayes over Oddo, for instance, is they're players that put the effort in. And I will never, ever batter a player if it looks like they're giving blood for the shirt. No matter what their quality is, if they are out on their pitch giving their absolute all, they deserve a modicum of credit, right? And Lisby, every time I've seen him, looks like he's busting a gut to play for Peterborough. He really wants to play for Posh. He really wants to break into the team. And his attitude tonight is exactly how the starting 11 should have started. It's exactly how everyone on that pitch should have started, because they should be wanting to get that shirt back. They should be wanting to get back in the squad. And too many of them didn't look like that. But Lisby was an example to everybody in the squad tonight. And Fergie's come out and said he'll be in the squad for Bolton. And I really hope he's given some minutes towards the end, because if we're taking Jimmy J. Morgan off at 60 minutes now, it should be for Kyra Lisby and never again for Gustav Lindgren.
Yeah, you're right, John. Oh, I said it when we recorded Sunday morning or Saturday night, whenever it was, for the episode that went out yesterday or Monday, by the time that this one goes out. The basics of being a Peterborough United player are that you just have to show some effort. And that's all that Lisby did. He got three good goals. He scored the perfect hat-trick tonight. It's purely a case of busting a gut when you're on the pitch and showing that actually you care. And the first half compared to the second half, the two strikers that we had on the pitch, they cared. That's as simple as it gets. Lisby cared. Jimmy J. Morgan cares. And this is a guy that's on loan. Not somebody that's permanently at this club. Like do you not... And this is where it all goes back to the guys that were on in the first half, is, are you not embarrassed by that performance? You get subbed at half time, like taken off the pitch. That's embarrassing. You were meant to score. You were one of these guys, Lindgren or Lolos, was meant to be the ones that probably scored the hat trick. They probably would have got a hat trick in the second half if they'd have been kept on. But actually, they wouldn't, because they didn't try, and then they get subbed off. So That you can only give credit to Lisby. He's still raw. You can still see that by the way that he gallivants around the pitch. But he's putting the effort in, and he clearly wants to learn and do better. But especially when you see the drinks breaks, he comes over and he listens to at least two or three of the coaches. He takes on what they say. Same with Jimmy J. Morgan. Sometimes you look at players and they come over and they're just absolutely like panting for their life. He was still panting, but he's also trying to take information on to better himself as a footballer. So you can't complain from that. And Kyra Lisby, well, John, you're saying you hope he gets minutes. I hope he gets longer than that, even if it means that we potentially have to change and offer some more options around the pitch, because he's an exciting footballer.
Do you know what? You've spoken quite a lot about Lisby the pair of you. And I'm going to speak a little bit more as well, because it's justified. All you want to see, and you've said it, John, is players put the effort in. That's all we want. They put the effort in and it still don't work. Well, they've tried, you know. And tonight, when he come on, he wanted that shirt. He wants to get his position in the starting lineup for Saturday or the future. He wants to be in the squad. And that's all I want. Even if he didn't score that hat-trick, as you said, he'll be in it. So I just wanted to sort of echo, because I think it was justified, the ratings we give him today. And the effort he put in, I think it's only right that we put the effort in to give him the praise that, you know, he deserves. If other players done the same as what he'd done, they'd be getting the praise as well, rather than the criticism. But like, fair play, Lisby. Not sort of 100% technical, best player ever, but put the effort in, show us that it can be done, and you never know, you might get a hat-trick, a perfect hat-trick, as he did tonight. But well done, young man.
Before we finish, it would be remiss of me to fail to speak about my favourite member of the squad, Abraham Odo. As a brief insight, and this might shock a few people, I gave Abraham Odo the highest mark on this podcast tonight. I gave him a 6. I actually have a fear. And my fear is, and I've talked a lot about system tonight, my fear is that we will go back to playing with a 10 now, because I think we looked far more cohesive when Odo got on the pitch. Just not because of Odo. I think he was fine. I thought he was okay tonight. But just by the fact that we had an extra attacker on the pitch made us look a bigger attacking threat, right? Well, if I look through the squad at our number 10 options, they are limited. And I now have a feeling that Abraham Odo may have a route back into this team if we continue to play this system, because I literally don't see who else you play there. Lolos? No. Conclark? No. Who else is there? You're probably not going to play Woods or Keller there, I don't think. I do have a fear that we might not have seen... I was getting excited because I thought I'd seen the end of Odo. And now I'm like, oh, I think he might be back. And I think he might be back to play quite regularly, because I can see that change coming, because I just can't see how we don't put more men further up the pitch.
I would like to offer or dangle a carrot to you, John, and say, is there a chance that we play Lisby in the 10? And then between him, Leonard and Jimmy J. Morgan, that they sort of just play as an attacking three and rotate. Is that something that you would be interested in?
I don't hate it. It would be a different 10 to certainly what Fergie has traditionally played with, because Lisby doesn't really have the level of technical ability. But what it would give you is more legs in that midfield. And I think one of the strengths of this Posh team that we probably don't see enough of is actually we're quite physically adept this season. You look at what we've got, and we've actually got some... Garbutt's pretty strong. Keller's pretty strong. Woods is a good runner. If you add Lisby to that as well, you've then got quite a lot of runners that would enable a decent press from the front, but you'd have to go sort of man to man, and whether Fergie's willing to do that with Tom Lees, Tom O'Connor and George Nevitt's pace at the back causes his own issues. So I don't know. Would I rather Lisby there than Odo? Probably. For the effort reasons, but do I think Lisby's the perfect fit for that role? Almost definitely not.
Yeah, difficult one. I suppose you could play Woods there as well. We obviously said that he's potentially a creative midfielder. He's not a 10, but he may hopefully be able to get on into that advanced role. I'm not convinced by Odo again. Obviously, there's been another round of PUFC Twitter gone on tonight, but John, you say that the 10 made the difference. I didn't see anything from Abraham Odo, unfortunately. So it's just another kind of disappointing appearance from him.
I just want to say both me and Ash were actually at the game, and we rated him quite low because we saw him on the pitch where he was. He was poor, mate. He was poor. He was trying to be the tricky pony and whatever. It's just poor. It's just a waste of a player on the pitch. So you stick to your 6, John, right? I hope you feel proud of yourself.
Look, heaven forbid I'm the one sticking up for Abraham Odo. I mean, what is going on tonight? I think that should be the end of the episode, unless there is any other business that anyone wants to jump in with before we wrap.
Yeah, so I would like to actively promote right now the fact that on Sunday, the women are playing in the FA Cup at Pimm's Park. They've got Notts County. Now, if anybody's seen the little vlog that Lods did for the Notts County away game, they have this nutty drummer, and he will be there. Please do come down just to see this guy, because he is an absolute nutcase. But as we've seen on multiple weekends, the women will not fail to entertain. Where the men are letting us down, and I think that Saturday is going to be a disappointing one for those fans that do make the trip up to the Tough Sheet, the women don't. It's an entertaining game. And I'm confident that these women are going to get to the next stage of the FA Cup on Sunday. And it's going to be exciting. They're going to score at least 4 goals. So get yourself down there. Pimm's Park, 2:00. I will be there. Dell will be there. And Lods will be there as well. We'll be in our little corner. is it the Colin Bell stand, Dell? I don't know why, actually. I don't know why I'm asking Dell, because he's not going to remember. But it's over the other side by the away dugout, so that we can give the lino and the away, the opposition manager, some grief when we're there.
All I can tell you is on the same side as where the managers and the subs sit. Wherever that may be, I have no idea. But one thing I can guarantee with a women is that it will be none of these tippy-tappy bollocks. Tip the ball, pass it back, get it in midfield, pass it back. They actually try and put it down the wings, try and run through, put some crosses in to get some goals in. You know, it doesn't always work, but it's sometimes a bit more entertaining than what the blokes are. So I'm up for it. I'm looking forward to going on Sunday, as I have been for the last few weeks. And again, I have a couple of spare tickets. If anybody's interested and want to go to Pimm's Park for the first time, message us on the pod, direct message us. First person that comes to us can have 2 free tickets to get in. Fair enough, eh? Fair enough. So look forward to seeing you all down there on Sunday.
Sounds like Dell might be Jake Paul in. Fergie out, Jake Paul in. On that note, and that high quality bit of analysis, we will call it a day. We are back on for Countdown to kick off on Friday night. Ashley will be there, 8 p.m. in our usual slot, live on YouTube and Twitter. We'll be previewing the Bolton game. So we'll see you then. And hopefully someone's going to predict a win, but I'm not convinced they are. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Oh, do you know what? Why have we recorded this tonight?
Because we have.
Oh, no, I'm not. I've got to edit it.